This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. My co-host Anthony Brooks is out this week. Here are some sobering statistics. More than 80% of people say it's important to put their wishes for end-of-life care in writing. And yet, barely 20% have actually done it. That may be because many of us are either too afraid or just don't know how to talk to our loved ones about dying. Well, a Massachusetts group really wants to change that. They've created a new kit to help get people talking. One of our colleagues here at WBUR recently used the kit to have the conversation with her father.
What matters to me is blank. In other words, what's most important to you? What do you value most? What can you not imagine living without?
My ability to think and be aware. And the thought of living with terrible pain is just not acceptable to me.
That's Carrie Goldberg, co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog, having a conversation with her father, Charlie Ritz, about his end-of-life choices. Carrie's with us now. Hi there, Carrie. Great to see you again.
Hello, Meghna.
So tell us a little bit about what motivated you to have this conversation with your dad.
Well, I'd heard about the launch of the Conversation Project, which is this very interesting sort of social campaign that was created by a bunch of media professionals, including Ellen Goodman, the fabulous former Globe columnist, and many medical professionals. And it's meant to encourage people to actually have these conversations in their families with their loved ones well in advance of when you're in a medical crisis about what you would want for the end of your life.
So, Carrie, in that case, what was the hardest part for you about having this conversation with your dad?
Well, actually, the hardest part was the dread that I felt before having the conversation itself. But actually, as you'll hear, it was a good thing to do.
It's awful to talk about this stuff, but
I don't feel that it's awful to talk about it. I think it's healthier. Different times I've wanted to go over my instructions, and you always say, another time.
Another time. I think that's probably something that's very familiar to a lot of people out there. And Carrie, we actually have an advisor to the Conversation Project here with us. Dr. Jessica McCannon is a research fellow in pulmonary and critical care at Massachusetts General Hospital. Dr. McCannon, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks. It's a thrill to be here.
You know, upon first consideration, I thought maybe the most important thing is to be sure that at the end of the day, everyone has that required paperwork for those end-of-life directives. But the Conversation Project doesn't necessarily focus on that part of the process. It focuses on everything that comes before that, like actually literally having the conversation. Why is that? Is it simply because no one wants to do it?
I mean, that's part of it. But I think without the conversation and the many conversations, those documents are not as valuable. For example, a healthcare proxy identifies the person who would make decisions for you if you were incapacitated. But if you haven't had a conversation with that person who you've identified, they're going to be totally lost. And it'll be up to that person and a medical team to make those decisions.
So this brings me to what's actually in the starter kit that's available for people about having this conversation. The questions begin along the lines with, the person has to fill in the blank. You're sitting across from your loved one and you ask them, what matters to me is blank.
I like that it started open-ended because it let the person express what they had already thought about before they then started getting stimulated to answer more specific questions.
Similar to that question, what matters to me most, on the landing page of our website is another statement, open-ended, that people can complete, which is, I want mine to be. And what we mean is, you want the end of your life to be blank. You know, the answers that we've gotten from it posted on the website, for example, have ranged from holding hands, you know, with my husband, or sitting around listening to my favorite music. And I think it gets right at what you value, what's important about your life. Then it helps you slowly get to the more nitty-gritty of decisions that we're asking people to consider.
I'm looking again at the template. There's a scale of 1 to 5, and it says, as a patient, number 1, I only want to know the basics, or take the scale all the way to 5, I want to know as much as I can. And I presume that means about, you know, one's diagnosis. So, Carrie, I mean, how much did your father want to know.
My dad and I were very much on the same page about that, actually. He wants to know as much as possible, and so do I. And we were on the same page about many things. The one really central difference was that we have very different attitudes towards death. This is his.
Totally not afraid of death. I am afraid of suffering, and I don't want my loved ones to see me suffer.
Whereas I feel like I don't think there's anything after death, and so I would be willing to put up with just about anything to stay alive.
You know, the other thing that I noticed is that there weren't many at all questions about specific types of care that one might have options at the end of life. Intubation, resuscitation, heroic measures, feeding tubes, all of that. Why do you not have those kind of specific directives in this conversation?
The reality is it's impossible to prepare for the infinite medical scenarios that someone may experience in their life. And I think people shouldn't be left alone in a vacuum necessarily to do that on their own. It's really important to discuss those interventions in the context of one's own health.
And actually, Dr. McKinnon explained to me, I had commented to her, couldn't there be more specific medical scenarios? And she clarified that those are things you'll be doing in partnership with your doctor or doctors or medical team. And so it makes more sense just to lay the groundwork as opposed to go through a whole bunch of hypotheticals that are more specific.
You know, what I found really moving and inspiring, in fact, about Carrie's conversation with her father is that your dad seems very clear in what he wants. He already knows, and he's also able to communicate it to you, Carrie. But Dr. McKinnon, what I was wondering is not every conversation is going to go like that.
Carrie and Charlie are unique in that they covered an incredible amount of ground in one sitting. But a lot of people are going to have to do this in steps. Some may have that in their hand and think about it for days, weeks, a month as they get ready to have that conversation. The idea is that there's not just one. I do believe that just one is a game changer because you learn things that you didn't know before, but oftentimes there's going to have to be many steps.
And yet the conversation does sort of allow, you know, the adult child and the parent to talk about, you know, maybe the circumstances around which some of these healthcare decisions are going to have to be made. I mean, there's a moment in your conversation with your father, Carrie, where you sort of talk about, you know, how do I know if I'm going to make the right decision for you? And here's what he said.
It's important to me that you, when and if you have to help me in any way, that there's no guilt involved, that you're my wishes are what's involved here.
When you said that, what did you think?
You know, I felt a wave of relief because I had known that this was his general attitude, you know, don't keep me alive beyond a certain point. And I had worried about the responsibility of having to maybe take measures or make decisions that would mean the final end for him. And so this conversation clarified for me that a real priority for him was for me to not feel guilt. And he helped me understand that I can't understand what it's like for him, that basically his feeling as an 85-year-old is so different from my feeling as a younger person that I just can't get it. And so I need to just accept that he feels okay about it. And here's him talking about that.
I've had a life. There have been some tough things, but there have been some wonderful things in my life. And if I have to say goodbye now, I'll say goodbye. I'm not going to sit and cry about it.
No, we will.
Yeah, well, I can't help.
So, Meghna, as we've been talking about this, I think, you know, one thing that's really important for people to remember is that even though I think this is a classic conversation with an aging parent and an adult child, this is for everyone. Tragic things happen all the time, and it's okay, and we want to, you know, normalize people of all ages having this conversation.
I imagine that it might not be the easiest thing in the world to get an 18-year-old to contemplate his or her mortality, but I take your point. I mean, life is uncertain. So what's the next step after having this conversation then?
Have it again and have it over and over because attitudes and preferences change. And I think obviously formalizing the process is important, identifying a healthcare proxy. But as we've talked about, having a conversation with that person is incredibly important.
So have the conversation again, get some paperwork done, and I also presume let your medical team know that indeed you've had these talks with your loved ones.
Yeah, and you should never be afraid of bringing this up with your doctor. I think studies have shown that doctors are scared of doing about this in their office. And, you know, we hope to mobilize the medical world as well in this realm, but I feel like people should feel empowered to walk into that office and say, we need to talk about this today.
Well, we are going to have a link on our website at radioboston.org to Carrie's story and also a link to the Conversation Project website where people can go for more information and this starter kit on how to have that conversation. Dr. Jessica McCannon is a research fellow in pulmonary and critical care at Massachusetts General Hospital and an advisor to the Conversation Project. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks so much for having me.
And Carrie Goldberg, co-host of WBUR's Common Health Blog. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Meghna.